be picking it up at verse 31. I'm sorry, Mark. Thank you, Mark. 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 Another one of those M's. Praise God for His grace. Amen. It is. And no matter what we have to go through. Aren't? Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. Thank you for going ahead and expressing that. Anybody else have any praises? Brother JD was so good to just express praise for God's grace. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Future and a hope. He's got a promise for our good, doesn't he? So, yeah. This past Wednesday was my mom's birthday. You know, it's kind of sad not having her, you know. And I struggle a little bit with that. I want to praise God for my mother-in-law. Her birthday is actually the day after my mom. And just a celebration, you know. And she's just such a sweet lady. And, you know, a lot of people complain about their in-laws and stuff. I've got, like, the most amazing in-laws. They have been so good to me. You know, my father-in-law now has passed away. But he was like one of my very best friends, you know, and I really miss him. But I praise God for my mother-in-law. She is just like a mom to me, and I am very thankful. So I want to praise God for her. Let's go ahead and take a look at Mark 3 now. So we noticed that earlier in the chapter, verse 21, if you look at Mark 3:21, he had that multitude that was gathering together around him in verse 20, and then in verse 21 it says, "But when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he's out of his mind." Who's his own people? Well, we go ahead and fast forward to verse 31, and I think we begin to see who his own people are. And tonight, what I really want us to think about and kind of focus in on is sometimes whenever we're trying to follow the Lord, God's drawing us, and maybe it's all brand new. Sometimes the people that are going to be the least likely to celebrate it with us may be the people of our own family. It may be those people that are closest to us because it might scare them or they might not be able to understand it very well. So just know that if that happens to you, Jesus understands. You know, I know that he knows all things, but like he actually lived it here. I want you to imagine that he grew up in a family that he had, you know, like half brothers and sisters, you know, in his family. And I'm sure that they were all very close, I would imagine. And, you know, then it comes time whenever he turns 30 that he's going to go out into his public ministry. And as we see his public ministry, we see he does these miracles and everybody's coming in, but not everybody's happy. Okay? Some of the people are getting pretty riled up and they're getting pretty upset. It was the religious authority leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They didn't like what he was doing and they were getting angry. Who controlled, like, the synagogue and the worship of the day? It was these guys. Do you think that it affected his family some whenever he was ruffling their feathers? I'm absolutely sure it did, right? And so, like, it was stirring up things in the community. And later on, we see, like, in the book of John, how they made mention of his family. In fact, they kind of reminded him that he was what they called an illegitimate child is what I believe we see there. And so, like, these guys just, they didn't stop at anything. It was almost like the politics we see today. What does politics look like today? I mean, they'll go after your kids, your wife, don't matter who it is. You know what I'm saying? They'd be as mean as they need to be to try to knock you off of what they feel like is the high ground that they want. And so these guys were doing the same thing. And so his mother and his brothers, you know, they were being negatively impacted by this. And I don't think that they were totally 100% sure just exactly what his position was in all this. Yes? hits me as his mother. Guys, this is Mary. This is Mary who's coming with him. You know, and so like we know that she was treasuring up all these things in her heart, right? Because it says so in the scripture. You know, I'm sure that she had a concern for the safety of her son, don't you think? It's like, you know, all this God thing's okay, son, but like, come on, you're really making people mad. You know, maybe you need to tone it down a little bit. Exactly, exactly. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. It actually says they thought he was out of his mind, right? That his own people thought he was out of his mind. So we get an idea, you know, and we can even understand it, right? I remember my dad saying, you know, it's okay to believe all this stuff, but like, you know, you don't have to go so overboard. You don't have to be a fanatic, you know? And so, you know, I think that's exactly what was going on here. So let's go ahead and read. Then his brothers and his mother came, and standing outside, they sent to him, calling him. Can you imagine what the scene looked like? You got all these people gathered in, and they're all crowding around, because, man, you just got through healing a whole bunch of people and setting some people free from demons, and you got the Sadducees and the Pharisees, everybody, they're gunning for you. They're mad because you did it on the Sabbath. They're upset with you. They're even saying, you know, he cast out demons by the power of Beelzebub. He's got a demon. And I mean, this is the climate of what's happening here. And then mom and brothers are standing outside going, hey, Jesus, you know, hey, go get him. Bring him out here. We'll help you straighten him out, basically, is what's happening. Came and spoke to her, right? I think that's why I'm taking my time with this. Guys, there's a lot of times we should know it too. And we might doubt it sometimes. We need to realize that the flesh is never going to be able to totally comprehend this thing. We really have to be building up our spirit in the Lord. Because I'm going to tell you, sometimes the flesh just gets on the outside of this thing and really has a hard time being spiritually minded. It makes you doubt. Even Mary doubted. She was visited by an angel. She was impregnated in a miraculous way and delivered baby Jesus. And yet, she went to get him to help straighten him out. So I just want us to know that the human condition is one that we are always going to struggle between our flesh and the spirit. And we need to be aware of it. Now, I don't say that to depress us. I say that to forewarn us that, you know, Jim Thompson always said that the dog you feed the most is going to get the biggest. And he's going to win out. So you need, you know, if you feed the dog, you know, of your flesh, I'm sure I'm not saying it nearly as cool as he did. Well, you got the one, and I'm not going there. We're going to keep moving. I get dark and light. All right, I'm okay. But I'm not taking any chances on this. But anyway, the one that you feed the most is going to get the strongest, and he's going to be the one to win out in the battle. And so we really need to be feeding the Spirit. It needs to be a regular part of our life. If it's not, then whenever we're faced with these tensions, and we're going to have them sometimes. Guys, I'm going to tell you, sometimes it don't look like Jesus is winning. Now, we have to remember that the Bible says he is. We have to remember that he's at the right hand of the Father. We have got to remind ourselves of that. But oftentimes when we look at the world, and that's what Paul said, isn't it? He said, if in this world only we have hope, we are to be most pitied of people. Because I'm going to tell you, he was being persecuted. He had been in prison. And he probably was in prison when he was penning those words. He was saying, "You know, we've got to look at the heavenly picture. Otherwise, none of this is going to make sense." And so we've got the family of Christ, his earthly family who are there. And so, verse 32, and a multitude was sitting around him, and they said to him, to Jesus, look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. He knew why they were there, guys. He understood. He got it. He was full aware. But look at what he answers in verse 33. He answers saying, who is my mother or my brothers? And they looked around in a circle at those who sat about him. And he said, and he looked around, and he says, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. You know what he's saying? He's saying that our spiritual family and our relationship with God comes before even our biological family. We've got to get that one right, and if we get that one right, guys, I'm going to tell you, after I came to Christ, some of my relationships in the body of Christ, the people that were helping to mentor me and stuff, were stronger relationships than my own family members. And I found a greater closeness during that time. Now, you know, I didn't forget about my family members, and neither did Christ. If you remember, while he was hanging on the cross, there weren't a whole lot of things that he said, but one of the things he said was to John to take care of his mother. And to his mother, that he was like an adoptive son that was going to be responsible for her. That was huge. You know, he cared about his mother. Let's not get from this that he didn't care about his mother and his brothers. And in fact, his brothers had a hard time believing all this stuff, and I think probably sibling rivalry might have kind of played into that. Imagine growing up with him being your oldest brother, you know. He did everything perfect. And then at the end, though, they came to believe. You look, where does the book of James come from? Who was that, James? His brother. Where was the book of Jude come from? It was another one of his brothers. You know, who was there at the cross whenever he was dying? His mother. So just know that at the end, they weren't saying the dude's crazy. In fact, when they saw the resurrection, that proved it all. Brother Bill? After the resurrection. Yeah. Now knock it off. Be like your brother. But here's the thing, guys. Jesus didn't lose focus. He kept his focus on the eternal because he knew it was the best thing for his family. And that's what we're going to kind of end with. Guys, my own story is that if I would have folded to the pressure of those who were not happy with my conversion, it would have hurt them in the long run. You see, in the long run, they came to faith in Christ too. But it was after years of it being pretty tough. My wife put up with me after her conversion, and I wasn't yet. And it was rough in our home. But, you know, if she'd have gave in, if she'd have just given in, and just said, okay, whatever, and hid her Christianity, where would I be today? Yeah, lost, hell-bound. I definitely wouldn't be standing here, you know? I mean, I know God could use another way, but why would we even try to go there? God wanted to use her. My wife got to lead me to Jesus. What better testimony can you get than that? You know, that's awesome that she has that in her testimony, that she led her husband to Christ, and that I got to lead my parents to Christ. You know, if I'd have walked off, I wouldn't be able to say that today. I wouldn't be able to hear the old rugged cross and still hear my grandma and my mom and my dad standing beside me in the church singing it with me if I would have given in those early days of their criticism and saying, you know, you don't have to be a fanatic. Well, you know what? For me, I don't know how you define fanatic, but I knew I had a lot of lost time under me, and I needed to make up for that lost time. I was in the church every time they had something going on. And it wasn't because anybody was forcing me to be. They were dragging me in there. I wanted what God had to offer. I remember a lot of times me and my dad would be coming home from work, and he really hated to knock off early. But on Wednesday night, whatever our drive time was between there and the church, I would make sure I was loading up tools so that I could get the tires rolling to get to church on time. And so sometimes I'd say, Dad, I'm not going to be able to drop you off at the house because of the direction we were coming from. I'm going to let you drop me off at church, and then I'm going to come over and get my truck later. And he would say, what, are you afraid you're going to go to hell if you just miss one service? Come on. I mean, like, and he wasn't easy about it, guys. You know, I would get that churning feeling in my stomach before I said it because I didn't want my dad to give me a hard time. I didn't want that disapproval, you know. And I said, no, Dad, I'm going because I want to be there. He goes, well, it ain't going to kill you to miss one. I said, but Dad, whatever they have to preach from tonight, this will be my only chance to hear it like that. It's only going to be done one time like that. In that setting, with that group, in those prayer times, you understand what I'm getting at? And so I didn't want to miss it. And after time, he finally stopped saying things like that. And then before I knew it, you know, I was in a prayer room, and God just tapped me on the shoulder. My mom had been coming. My grandma came back first. She heard we were going back to church, and it was the old church where she had gone 40 years ago, and it wasn't our first choice. I didn't want to just go there just because my family had gone there. I mean, I wanted this thing to be like for real. So we almost kind of, in my own heart, I kind of avoided going there. But God drew us there through other people that were totally unrelated to my family. Eventually, we're going there, and my grandma goes, hey, you know, I think I'm going to try to come back to church with you guys. And I'm like, okay, that'd be great, you know. Sunday school starts this, church service starts this. She said, well, I think I'll just come for the church. Okay, cool. She came back, sat right beside us, made my kids behave. It was great. And so I can tell you some stories on that one. It was pretty good. But anyway, so then pretty soon she got talking to my mom, and they had a pretty close relationship. My mom's mom wasn't real close to her, and so my grandma on my dad's side actually had trained my mom how to be a wife, and how to cook and clean for her son, which was kind of cool. Dad said, man, I got the best deal going. My mom taught my wife how to cook and how to take care of me. But she got talking to her, and you know, she said, Carol, you ought to come with me. And, you know, I've really been enjoying going back to church. My mom started coming. And then, it was a pretty long time. It was months, maybe well over a year. My dad, he wouldn't even talk about it. So she'd get up and go with Nanny and show up at church with me. And boy, you better not talk about it on Monday morning around my dad. You know, he'd get all agitated. And so, and mom was like, don't ever say anything to your dad, because, like, he's letting me go, and you know, if you say something, it might kind of upset it. Well, then I come over one morning on a Monday morning, get ready for work, and we all work together, so, like, I saw him all the time, and I walked in, you know, mom was making me coffee, and she turned around and handed me a cup of coffee, and she had tears running down her face. And I said, what's wrong, Mom? And she said, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to keep going leaving your dad here on Sunday. She said, it's really breaking my heart. And so she said, you know, I feel like I'm just abandoning guys right here. That's what was happening. She had to make a choice. And I said, Mom, keep honoring God first. Just make sure you keep honoring God. And she said, well, don't say nothing to your dad, because all you'll do, he's so stubborn, you know how he is. And I said, yeah, I'm not saying nothing. And so I started kind of praying privately about it. You know, of course I had been anyways. And then God tapped me on the shoulder in a men's prayer group right before church, and he was just like, he just spoke into my heart, pray out loud for your dad. And I'm like, I can't do it, because I don't believe it's going to happen. I couldn't imagine it happening, honestly. And I'm like, if I pray that out loud and then it don't happen, it's going to hurt my faith. Have you ever been, like, just challenged to pray something that just seems impossible? And so I didn't do it. And, man, I went out of there feeling so guilty. God just wouldn't let me get over it. And so the next week I came back, and I'm in there, and God tapped me on the shoulder and said, pray for your dad. So it gets around to my time, and I'm over, you know, sweating. And okay, so there's about six or eight of us that would meet every Sunday morning to pray, a pretty good prayer time before the service. And we did it right before the service started. And so I'm standing there, you know, and I prayed about these other things, and I just couldn't shake it. So finally I said, God, I just pray that my dad would come back, that he would just give his heart fully to you, you know. And so then, you know, as we were leaving, one of the guys, he put his arm around my shoulder. He said, I'll be praying for your dad. And so the next week we came back, and I was in that prayer room, and I felt more bold with it. And this time, I mean, I didn't resist God so much, and I prayed for my dad. And whenever I opened the door of that prayer room, it was facing right where our pew was. It was the third pew back, by the way. Third and fourth, it started growing. There he was. And he hadn't said a word to me about it. He hadn't said, I'm thinking about it. He hadn't said anything. He didn't say nothing to my mom. And my mom, later on, she said, you know, she looked at me and she's like, I don't know what happened. He never said a word about it. I just got up and started getting ready. The next thing I know, he was standing by the door with his clothes on, ready to go. And he said, so are you ready to leave yet? You know, he acted like he'd been going all along, you know. And then like two or three months later, he found out that after 40 years of him not being there, they'd taken his name off the roll. They didn't know who he was. And he goes, can you believe they took my name off that roll? I said, Dad, 40 years. It's probably somewhere back there, but they might have lost their head. All I'm saying is, guys, you got to put God first. If you put God first, it's the best thing you can do for your whole family. It really is. And so take the lesson from Jesus. I love what he says here. And it must have just hurt his family when he said this. But man, they needed to hear it. My brothers, who are my mother and my brothers, whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. He was pleading with his family, please do the will of God. That's what matters. So don't be surprised if unlikely people get down on you for following Jesus. But don't let it persuade you away. It's a sword, it's like a scalpel. Whenever the doctor, the surgeon goes in because you got something that needs to be taken care of, it hurts at first. Y'all see the picture on Facebook of Tim's big scar that he's got? And man, they really cut him open to replace his shoulder. And I thought, that's kind of what God does with us sometimes, you know? It looks nasty sometimes at first. It hurts. But we got to go all the way in so that we can take care of the root of the problem. You know? Yes, sir. Yeah. Just got to keep loving the Lord, right? We just love him with all our hearts. I got to love him more than my wife. I got to love him more than my kids. I got to love him more than Bill, even. Let's try to outdo each other loving Jesus, really, in a good way. And you know what? God takes care of all the rest. It's amazing some of the miracles he does. It really is. So, appreciate you guys. Appreciate you coming tonight. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray for our VBS before we close. It's really important that we do. Dear God, we just come to you tonight. We're thankful. Thankful that you called us to be your sons and daughters. Lord, who are my mother, my brothers, my sisters? It's those who do the will of God. I praise you. I praise you for all these that are sitting in this room right now. I praise you for all those who are planning to volunteer this week. I know that Satan's going to call out the forces of hell to come out and to try to disrupt what you're doing here. And Lord, we're going to keep moving forward. And if we got to pass the baton off to somebody else because we can't maybe continue on this leg of the journey, Lord, or this leg of the race, then that next person can pick it up, and we're going to keep moving forward, Lord, as a church, because we're all one team in this thing. We're one family in this thing. So, God, I pray that you would bind the enemy. I pray that he not be allowed to meddle in the affairs of your church here. But, Lord, even if he does, let us just continue to rejoice, because we know if you allow it, it's for our good and you're building our faith. And Lord, we know that before any really awesome good thing happens, we see Satan come out to try to discourage us ahead of time. And so, Lord, I've heard from several people that's happening in their life even right now. So we're going to praise you for it. We're going to say praise God, because you got a good plan. You're going to do good things this week. So help us, Lord, just to keep our eyes on you. And I do pray for grace on everyone that has been feeling the heaviness and the weight and the burden of this, that, Lord, you would just bless and lift us up. We're waiting on you. And we know what the scripture says about those who wait on you. We're going to be lifted up like that on the wings of eagles, Lord. How does an eagle fly? Man, they soar. Let us soar with you this week. And Lord, it's not going to make sense. And it's not, it's just like our finances. Whenever we give first to God, you'd think we'd have less. What's so awesome is you keep giving us more. You're amazing, God. We thank you that we can cry out to you, Father, Daddy, and you hear us as your children. And so, Lord, we call to you in the name of Jesus that you would give us great victory this week, Lord. Not for our sake, but for the sake of those who don't know you yet, for the sake of those who need to be encouraged, and for the sake of your glory, that you would be lifted up here at Cadet Baptist Church this week. Bless all of the volunteers. Give them strength. Give them focus. Give us everything that we're going to need, resources as well. And Lord, we're going to give you all the glory for the way that you are going to answer the prayer, because we know you will. Lord, I praise you, and I also praise you that you're going to give us what we need as well to help minister to the Minks family. And Lord, bless me. Just give me what I need for the service tomorrow, Lord, for this funeral service, that I can bring you glory through it and bring comfort, Lord. Comfort isn't something I can do. That's something only the Holy Spirit can do. And so, Lord, I pray that you would comfort those who are afflicted. And, Lord, that maybe you need to afflict some that are comfortable. But in this, I pray that it would bring the whole family closer to you, that they would see what Tom and Emma's life really stood for overall, and that they would want to imitate that in their lives. I pray that you would draw that whole family to you. And Lord, I pray that in all of this, you would just be glorified. Bless these dear saints here. Thank you for the fellowship that we have one with another, and all of us with you. In Jesus' name, amen.